Fans around the world, thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight. Appreciate it very much. This is the Boxing News Show, where I give you the basic headlines from around the world, give you a few stories, updates, previews, some quotes. And no sooner had we provided news that Alicia Baumgartner was able to go back into the ring than she's been ordered to take a fight. And let's have a quick look here. According to my friends over at Bad Left Hook, Patrick Sternberg, our good friend, freelance writer out of, he's okay. Let me just get to the story. Forget about the quote. Here we go. Undisputed super featherweight champ Alicia Baumgartner is on her way back to the ring. 2 days after news broke that the Association of Boxing Commissions, ABC, lifted her suspension, the WBC has ordered her to face mandatory challenger Delphine Persoon, scheduling a purse bid for this coming Friday, which is quite a few days away. So you've got lots of time to put your money together for that one. Baumgartner, by the way, hasn't fought since avenging her lone career defeat to Christina Lenarditu last July. As a pre-fight sample, tested positive for two banned substances. She maintained her innocence throughout after several issues emerged concerning the handling of the original test, and she's been cleared to make her second undisputed defense. Easier said than done. Though she turned 39 in January, Persoon, 49-3, by the way, 19 knockouts, is far and away the most noteworthy remaining challenger at 130. Her only losses in the last 13 years with razor-thin decisions to Katie Taylor, and her nonstop aggression poses a very interesting challenging to Baumgartner's stop-and-go style. So let's see how the purse bid plays out. Good story from my good friend Patrick Sternberg. All right, let's have a quick look here and see what else is going on. Oh, yes, a story that's brewing. Terrence Crawford might be fighting Chris Eubank Jr. That's interesting from a couple of perspectives. One, let's say from Terrence Crawford's bud perspective, you know, he's going to have to go up a few, have to put on a few pounds, let's put it that way. And maybe that's all in anticipation of him potentially fighting Canelo Alvarez at some point in the future, which he's admitted he would like to do, as probably would every boxer in that particular weight class. But Chris Eubank Jr. pops into the conversation because of Conor Benn. Conor Benn and Chris Eubank Jr. have long had a rivalry over in the UK. But Conor Benn was down in Saudi Arabia, and I'll get to this in a second, chatting it up with Manny Pacquiao. So anyway, let's see if Chris Eubank Jr. can finalize that deal. Yesterday I mentioned half a dozen prospects in the heavyweight division, courtesy of our good friend Ken Hisner. And naturally, apparently, he got a lot of comments from the boxing fans around the world who would like us to mention a few more names in the heavyweight division, those who might become possible future world title challengers. We must, of course, not forget Bakhodir, the big Uzbek Jalilov. You know, this is a big fella, 2020 Olympic gold medalist, certainly a top prospect, 103-15 in the amateurs. And others, Richard Torres Jr., who like Frazier Clark has had less than 10 fights, though. Someone who might have a loss or two, still coming back for more, though, Daniel Dubois, 22, 19 stoppages from Greenwich, London. You know, if you might recall, he beat another prospect, Jarrell Big Baby Miller, who I actually thought was going to win that one, but he didn't. You know, Dubois should be mentioned in that heavyweight class. One of those who defeated Dubois is another from the UK named Joe Joyce. And we're going to mention him in a few moments because he's up, going to step into the ring very soon, actually. I'll mention that in a second, though. And Joyce, as you know, has wins over Joseph Parker, Christian Hammer, Carlos Takam, Michael Wallace, Bryant Jennings, on the list goes. Dubois had previous wins over Kevin Larina, who's fighting recently over in Saudi Arabia as well. So the heavyweight division certainly is tightening up. And as I mentioned before, Frazier Clark from UK, also six stoppages. He's got an 8-0 record from Staffordshire in the United Kingdom, 70-25 in the amateurs, and a bronze medalist in 2020, but lost to Jalilov in the semifinals. So there you have it. Over the past few days, we've gone through the heavyweights, all that are, shall we say, up and coming, though not really, but looking for titles, absolutely. And one way or another, are still in the ring, so to speak. Anyway, as I said, Joe Joyce, ESPN has picked up that Joe Joyce fight. ESPN Plus will air Queensbury Promotions' Magnificent Seven card, headlined by Nathan Heaney against Brad Paulus for the British middleweight title. Featured on the undercard of that event is heavyweight contender Joe Joyce, 15-2, just mentioned him, rebounded from two straight KO losses to Jia Zhang, who, as I said earlier, fighting Joseph Parker, who he lost to. Joyce will fight Cash Ali, who's 21-2 and a 10-rounder. Now, let's not make too much about this, because the card is as follows, and Joyce is near the bottom of it, to be blunt. So Liam Davies going up against Eric Robles Ayala for the IBO Super Bantamweight title. Then Nathan Heaney versus Brad Paulus for the British middleweight title. Then Pierce O'Leary versus Hovhannes Matryshyan. Zach Parker versus Tyron Zugi. Dennis the Menace McCann's on this card versus Brad Strand. Dennis has been a longtime favorite here on Talk and Fight. He has been mentioned by Mike Gore over the Duck Club numerous times. Ethan James going up against Owen Cooper. Then Joe Joyce fighting second after Ezra Taylor is taking on Prince Narte. Joyce revealed he's ready to fight well into his 40s. Just recently, as he chases that shot at world glory, he said, "It's all in the past now. You've seen what, for instance, Joe Parker did. I beat him, but he came back and beat Deontay Wilder as well. Shows that he's young and he's been in the sport a long time, heavyweight champ. So it's just not to show. It's just not over. Even like George Foreman came back when he was, what, 40, 46, he said? There's still plenty of time. So Joe Joyce is ever hopeful that he'll continue to climb in the heavyweight rankings and get a world title shot. I kind of doubt it, though. But anyway, speaking of titleists in the heavyweight division, let's talk about Mike Tyson for a brief moment. Says Eric Raskin, "It's been 19 years since Mike Tyson's last professional fight and 21 years since his last win. It's been 28 years since he last had a belt, 24 years since Buster Douglas ended the myth of his invincibility, and 38 years since he became the youngest heavyweight champ ever." So, says Eric, "It's been 25 years since I wrote a cover story for Boxing 99 titled The Secret of Mike Tyson's Enduring Popularity." That's right. By 1999, when he was preparing to return from his ear bite suspension, we were already marveling at the continuing relevance of this mostly used up boxer who had clearly become more curiosity than Colossus. Anyway, as we all know, Tyson's going to enter the ring soon. Against Jake Paul on Netflix in front of probably 80,000 screaming, yelling fans at AT&T Stadium down in Texas. And so everyone's wondering, is this going to be a real fight, or is this, are we being pranked here? You know, is this, let's have a quick read from James Slater, boxing247.com. "It seems absolutely everyone has an opinion on the recently announced Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul fight. And it's fair to say most folks are not very pleased about this one, a fight that will see a 58-year-old, sometimes wheelchair using for sciatica, weed smoking former great going up against a 27-year-old YouTuber who has still to convince many people that he can actually fight. Tyson will get hurt, say some. Paul will hurt the sport by hurting Tyson, say others. Not too many people are in between on this one, but it will be a real fight at the AT&T Stadium. Recently, two people have chimed in with differing info, those being Derek Chisora and journalist Ariel Halwini. Chisora said to Radio Raheem how he has heard the bout will be an exhibition affair with the two men wearing head guards and 18-ounce gloves. And I saw that on a good friend over on Facebook, Boxing Elite, good boxing page. Anyway, there was a really funny post that made mention of that particular comment. Let's see what just sort of had to say here. "I know for a fact they're using 18-ounce gloves and head guards. If I'm not mistaken, well, he might be. He said, I think so. We're watching a sparring match. It's a fucking joke. You think I'm paying to watch that?" And countering that, Helwani said, "There'll be no headgear worn. The fight to be like your typical boxing match. A pro or exhibition," he said. "They want pro, but that's up to the Texas Commission." So the Texas Commission will indeed decide whether it be a true boxing match, and hopefully at heavyweight, and hopefully without headgear, and hopefully with a typical boxing glove, and not like an exhibition match like Mike Tyson had against Roy Jones. So anyway, let's hope it's going to be a normal, professional heavyweight fight, no strings attached. Speaking of legends, let's talk about Manny Pacquiao for a sec. As I mentioned earlier, he was ringside over at Saudi Arabia and got approached by Conor Benn, who said if he has to go through Manny Pacquiao on the way to a world title, then so be it. Ben and the Filipino icon went head-to-head in Saudi Arabia, and news of the summer fight between the two quickly has spread. Ben, who you know, following two positive VADA tests ahead of his proposed 2022 bout against Chris Eubank Jr., has had two fights in the USA, and he strenuously denies any wrongdoing, but now could be headed for that fight against Pacquiao in the Middle East, in fact. And he said, that's what I was there for, really. He said of Whirlwind 72 Hours in Saudi Arabia, he said, I knew Pacquiao was going to be there. Right now, that's like the one that we're focused on. Wow. Ben has talked about wanting to be in the title picture and has called out the biggest names at welterweight after he defeated Peter Dobson in Las Vegas last month. Plenty called him out too, but Pacquiao seen the possibility for May or June in Saudi Arabia, and Ben is happy to engage the future Hall of Famer. Yeah, obviously. When we did the face-off, it's like looking into a legend's eyes, Ben said. It was sort of surreal. Ben wants the big names at 147, but there's a commercial magnetism for his name to be linked with others away from the upper echelons of the relevant divisions, like Cal Brook, Eubank Jr., and increasingly to the 45-year-old Pacquiao. And what does the 27-year-old, who's sporting a 23-0 record, by the way, say to those who say he should be fighting the major players at welterweight? I say that he, Pacquiao, wants to fight me. He's mentioned my name, his manager, Sean Gibbons. As all said, it's not like I haven't chased the 147s. How many times have I got to mention the 147 names? And there's videos out there saying they don't want to fight, that I'm not a big enough name, I'm not ranked, or whatever. Derek Bozy Ennis was saying, so what do you want me to do? We call for Mario Barrios. We call for Yordynis Yugas. We call for Keith Thurman. So it's like, what do you want me to do? If a legend wants to share the ring with me, it would be my honor, said Conor Benn. All right, good for him. All right. One last story here quickly. Oscar Valdez will take on Liam Wilson. Oscar Valdez sporting a 31-2 record, and Wilson sporting a 13-2 record. Will go head-to-head, toe-to-toe, featuring Sinisia Superbad Estrada and Yocasta Valle on the undercard, fighting at the Desert Diamond Arena on ESPN+. Valdez and Wilson will fight in a 12-round junior lightweight clash, with Valdez obviously chasing another world title shot. And before I conclude, let me just quickly say something about the Olympics, which are upcoming, Paris 2024. There was the very first world qualification tournament for boxing that just took place, just concluded in Busto, Italy, and certainly provided its fair share of emotion for those competitors, ending in heartbreak for some, I'm sure. But nonetheless, there are quite a few men and women who triumphed in the first qualifier that took place from March 3rd to March 11th. And received a quota for their respective organizing bodies. Interesting to note here, a couple of names of the 28 men and 21 women who triumphed. I wanted to make mention of two. Cindy Gamba made history on the final day, becoming the first ever boxing refugee team member to secure an Olympic quota. The Cameroon-born boxer who relocated to the UK at the age of 11 is one of 70 IOC refugee athlete scholarship holders, and she secured an impressive stoppage victory over Kazakhstan's Valentina Kozlova in the women's 75-kilogram quarterfinals, and that was shown live on the Olympic channel, by the way, at olympics.com, and via the official Olympics app. So if you want to stay tuned to what's happening over in the Olympics as they gear up for Paris 2024, you can certainly go to olympics.com. Another fighter out of the Philippines, Nesty Paticio, may get the chance to upgrade her boxing Olympic silver medal at Paris 2024 after securing Olympic quota for the Philippines at that first world qualification tournament. Following a cagey start in the women's 57 bout, the south paw explode to life, landing some trademark stinging body shots on her opponent, Ezra Karaman out of Turkey, who struggled to keep pace. Karaman responded by coming forward, though, aggressively in the second and third, and caught an increasingly passive Patricio out several times with some pinpoint jabs. But Patricio used superior ring craft to protect her lead and eventually closed out the match with a split decision victory. If selected, she'll become the first Filipino female boxer to secure two Olympic quotas. So there you go, some news out of the Olympics as we head towards Paris 2024. Well, thanks very much for joining me here on Talk and Fight. Appreciate it very much. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell for me, and we'll see you again at 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Talk and Fight.